Welcome to the Be Real, Get Real podcast from Women's Prosperity Network. Real women sharing real stories about their ups, their downs, their journey, and their transformations. Through these stories, we'll explore what it takes to have the courage to speak your truth, follow your passion, and be the change you want to see in the world. And now, let's get started with today's show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Be Real, Get Real podcast. I am your host, Nancy Matthews, one of the founders of Women's Prosperity Network. And today we are joined by the other co-founders of Women's Prosperity Network, my amazing sister, Trish Carr and Susan Winner. Hello, sisters.
Hello, sister. How you doing?
Hello.
I am awesome and really excited to be here with you today as we share real stories of real women. And we are real women. And one of the questions that we're often asked is like, how did you start this thing? Like, why do you do this? Women's Prosperity Network was started in 2008, actually the tail end of 2007. And we launched in 2008 and have been going strong and building through lots of successes, lots of missteps along the way. And I'm excited today to be here with my sisters as we share the real story of where Women's Prosperity Network came from, how it was birthed, and why we continue doing the work we do today. So with my great pleasure, I'm going to start off with my sister, Trish Carr.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. She is my rock and roll mentor, my business mentor, my speaking coach, my greatest friend. I have two best friends. I'm pretty lucky. And so, Trish, let's talk a little bit about your why and the story behind why Women's Prosperity Network came to be in your life.
You know, when you ask me that question, I go to a lot of places. You know, I go to my corporate background and how I wanted to break out and have some freedom. And I go to watching younger women that I knew who had a challenge getting a leg up in business. But when I really think about it, it actually started Women's Prosperity Network, really, for me, the foundation. I'm 5 years old. When I was 5 years old, I remember sitting in the living room day after day, watching my mom at the ironing board. Your mom, too. You may not remember, Nance, because you're younger than me, but I'm sure Susan does. My mom would be at the ironing board every single day. And she had one of those green, those little green Coke bottles. You remember those?
I remember
and
those.
And on the top of the bottle, she stuck this sprinkler thing head that she made, and she made holes in. And she'd take the green bottle and she'd sprinkle it on the ironing and she would iron all day long. And I knew that she was ironing other people's clothes because every once in a while, she would let me go with her when she would deliver the ironed clothes or she would pick up the clothes from the rich people, because that's really what they were to me. They were the rich people living in the big houses and stuff. So on those days where I got bored hanging with my mother in the living room and watching her iron all day long, I would go upstairs and I would get on her big king-size bed and I would go in her closet and I would pull out this thing that she called a valise, which I think today we call a trunk or a suitcase, right? And yeah. In this suitcase, she had all this stuff. And in it were like these little makeup samples and perfume samples. Now, I wasn't allowed to actually put those things on my body. Like I couldn't touch them, right? But I could play with them. And she had this little box about this big of teensy weensy little lipsticks.
I remember those. They were white, right?
Exactly. Right. These little white lipsticks. And it looked like if you've ever gone to like a Cracker Barrel or one of those restaurants where they have those peg games and you just jump the peg and you try to get one left. Well, that's what I would do with the lipsticks. I wouldn't care about putting them on my lips because I wasn't allowed to, right? But I was allowed to play with the jewelry. So she had all this awesome jewelry and her name was the same as mine. So I had a pin with a P for Patricia that I could wear, right? And I had all this, and it was called costume jewelry. It actually had another name. It was called Sarah Coventry. And you know, it wasn't until years later that I realized that my mom, our mom was running three businesses.
Wow.
While raising four children and one alcoholic husband.
Wow.
You know, and years later, she went back to work, and I would watch her every night getting ready with her shorthand and her typing. And she went to work and she became an executive secretary on Wall Street, because in those days, boys could grow up to be executives and girls could grow up to be executive secretaries. The other thing is, girls could go to school and learn all kinds of things about numbers and accounting. And boys would do the same thing, but they would be called accountants and girls would be called bookkeepers. And of course, their salaries would be comparable to their titles. So this is my upbringing. This is what I saw. And then when I got in corporate America, I saw the same thing. I saw that the women in the traditionally female jobs, customer service, inside sales, made significantly less than the guy who came to your house and plugged in the phone. So that is my background. And what I wanted to do with Women's Prosperity Network was make sure that we as women are equipped with the skills, the knowledge, the connections, so that we can be seen equally in the workforce as business owners, as entrepreneurs in companies, and have the opportunities to move up. So that's really the crux for me, is I'm always holding the banner for women first, women in front, and women moving ahead.
Yeah, and your banner is the results revolutionary.
You've been
a revolutionary championing. How do you say that?
Championing.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
Real women, real stories.
Right.
Really not
a communication expert, right?
You know, being the one who steps out and says, hey, that's not right. How come that's the way it is? How can we change it? You know,
right.
That's what a revolutionary does. So was there a particular time in your life where you felt a difference on, you know, women and men in the workplace or entrepreneurship? Like, did you see anything around that in your own experience?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that, because yes, when we first started Women's Prosperity Network back in 2008, we were in the midst, or the beginning actually, of the worst recession since the 1929 Depression. And what I did see at that time was many women getting laid off from their corporate jobs, from their small business jobs, and starting things on their own. And even myself, at the turn of the century, I was working in corporate, and I also got laid off. And I decided at that time that I was not going back into that rat race, that I have prepared myself to be the best that I can be, and I can go out and do it. And I would go out networking, and I would see people networking, and it just wasn't the way I wanted it to be. I'd walk into rooms, and I'd feel a little uncomfortable because people were in little cliques of groups, you know, and I'm not shy, but I would walk in and I would have to kind of get my way in. And I would think, if this is not easy for me, imagine what it's like for somebody who's shy or someone who's just coming out of corporate who's never had this experience. So I wanted to create a different experience of connecting with other people. You know, I would introduce myself, hi, I'm Trish Carr, and I would put my hand out, and somebody would respond to me by saying, here's my business card, like not even speaking to me what their name was. So for me, this wasn't the way I wanted to work, and I saw that there were so many women starting businesses who didn't have the skills that even I had at that point to start conversations, to know where to go, to sell, to be able to make your business work. So I wanted to take my knowledge that I had learned for many years and give it to other women so that they could have what they want. And it's working, because more women have businesses now than ever before.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Everything is going up for us, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for that. I'm going to talk with our sister, Susan.
Yeah.
And I do want to plant a seed, because we'll come to this as we wrap up the interview today, the podcast. One of the questions that comes up a lot when people meet us and find out we are actually three sisters with the same mother and the same father, they're like, wow, you work with your sisters? That's so awesome you get to do that. I don't think I could work with my sister. So we're going to have a little talk about how it is working with sisters and families before we wrap up today. I know, fun, right?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So Susan, tell us a little bit about why Women's Prosperity Network is now your passion. I can see how much you love connecting with our members and supporting them, and also I see how much they love you. So what's the story that brought you to this place?
Well, my story started when I was very young and caring for my siblings, because I'm the eldest of the family.
I'm the baby.
That's where my leadership role began.
I love it.
Exactly. And then we progress and I go out into the workplace. And from the day I entered the workplace, I knew that I didn't fit the mold. You know, I just didn't fit it. I couldn't be that 9-to-5 employee who came in, did her time and left. Or it's just not me. Mm-hmm. I'm an all-in, 100%, 110% person. I'm either all in or I'm all out. There's no in between with me. And I've been like that all my life. So wherever I had gotten a job, starting with being what they called an usherette, somebody who guided people to their seats at the movie theater.
That was your first job?
That was my first job, other than babysitting and things like that.
Yeah.
But I quickly found, I observed, because I'm an observer, and I found a way to make that job, as well as any other job I've ever had, mine. I uniquely shifted so that it suited me as well as the people I was working for. I always started off, you know, tradition and observing. And then as soon as possible, I rearranged my job so it turned out to give me the fulfillment that I needed and give the employer what they needed as well. And I've done that all my life. Mm-hmm. We moved down to Florida and I needed to find a job. I relocated. And fortunately for me, I had an in at the telephone company at the time. Thank you, Trish. At that time, you could submit a resume and be on the list for 2 years. And if you were lucky, you got a call back, because people that work for the phone company stay 40 plus years. The only movement is internal. And occasionally you have a jumper, or somebody that retires or unfortunately passes away, and a position opens up. I didn't have to wait for any of that. Trish was going to get me right in for my interview, which she did. I immediately got the job and I went to work, and I was what they called an off the street person.
Right. Off the street. I forgot that.
I just remembered it now. And what that meant was you were an outsider, but you got it. So I, again, being the observer that I was, observed that job. And again, you know, that was going to be my career path. I was going to work at the phone company, the first big company I'd ever really worked for, where I was going to develop a career. And wow, was that an eye-opener for me.
Well, let me pause for a minute, because we're talking the late 1970s. 80s,
yeah.
And still at that time, when we look at the number of entrepreneurs there are today, it was significantly less back then, because of the trajectory, the path that we were all sold was to go on, you know, become a lifer, find a good company, get a good job, stay there and retire. The world has changed since then.
Thank God.
And I think, again, your leadership role, from what I'm hearing, you didn't necessarily fit into that role.
Leadership I fit into.
No, I mean the lifer.
Employee role lifer. So well. Yeah. Although I adapted. Okay, you're laughing because you know it's true. Although I adapted. And again, because I was at the phone company, I went all in and I found a way to be able to give and do as much as I could rather than holding back, because we can't do too much in our jobs. And I wound up getting promoted. And of course, you know, I had some people in my department that was similar to me, probably 2 out of 25 or 30. And I was fortunate in that I was able to get promoted. And what came back to me as I was thinking about this was the day I got promoted to management, most people, right, would dress up, they would be proud, they would feel really, really good about it. I dressed down. Literally dressed down. I did not want to, I don't know, take away from or look like one of these off the street people that I had surpassed these 25-year people. I wanted to keep it as low key as I could and then get into the role and do what I needed to do. And that was, like I said, I just remembered that. Very, and a little bit what happens to women even today.
Yes.
The list that for me and why Women's Prosperity Network.
Yes.
Women are trained to diminish their skill sets to, right, Trish? I mean,
totally.
Yeah.
Be humble. Be
exactly.
Humble.
Exactly. Right. And I mean, imagine.
Well, and the other thing is when you get promoted, you have to deal with all that jealousy. So who wants to be surrounded
right.
by people who are jealous of you? And that's what happens in corporate. Everybody's like, why wasn't it me?
Right.
As opposed to let's celebrate for Susan.
Exactly. Exactly. And they were going to be the people that were working with me for me.
Right.
I wanted to be on their plane. So that right. was my way of coping, you know, and dealing with that. So I happily made my management position there exactly how I wanted it. And I had great backing from the people I worked for who were a level or two up from me. And I eventually, you know, after a couple of years, I was about to be promoted again to the next level of management. And I had experienced a little bit about what was in that job. And I have to be honest with you, I wasn't really crazy about it.
Right, here's
the money was good.
Yeah.
The status was
good.
At the phone company, we made what was considered to be really great money, especially as women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was challenging for me. And I thought, okay, you know, you're not going to turn down a promotion in money. That's just silly. But remember how difficult it was for me in the corporate environment to make it the way I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So this was going to be my next great leap. And I remember sitting together, we had department heads, and this was like a defining moment for me in my world, where the department heads would come together once a month, and we would, the goal was to discuss on how we were going to work better together, how we were going to make changes for the better. And the truth of the matter is, we were great friends, we had a great time, and not very much changed every month. So as I'm sitting, now I know I'm getting promoted and this challenge is playing in the back of my head. In the interim, I had also, during the few years before that, become involved with a direct marketing company. And that's where my whole world changed. That was bing, bang, boom. You don't have to be in corporate America. There's another path you can take. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
So that I worked part-time. You know, I never saw that as a full career change initially. Anyway, so that's where I picked up all my personal development and my business skill development. That's where I got that. I didn't feel I got that at the phone company like Trish. I don't know, maybe I came along too late or I don't know what the reason was, but maybe the department was more forward going in that area.
Different leader. That's all. I had a different
yeah.
leader than you did.
So anyway, I'm sitting in this meeting knowing I'm getting promoted shortly and I'm looking around at the 10 people around the table with me and I start to almost panic. Thinking, oh my God, this is not what I want my life to be.
Mm.
And the next level was all about more travel and more meetings. And I couldn't stand the thought of it. Honestly, I could not stand the thought of going. They would fly you out at 4 o'clock in the morning. You would come back at 6 o'clock at night. It was always last minute. So they would pay premium for the airfare, which made me crazy to begin with on their part. And we would accomplish nothing. And then we would go back to our jobs. I couldn't do that life. I'm not capable of it. So I'm sitting there fidgeting and I can't wait for this meeting to be over now because like I said, I can't hear people anymore. I'm pretty much panicked. So I leave and I go home for the day. And as I walk into my house, my husband was there, a couple of friends were over and I said, look, I don't know whether I've gone insane or I've come to my senses, but I'm quitting my job tomorrow.
Wow.
Right, like that.
Yep.
Wow. Like,
Now, I don't know, was it really like that? Probably not. You know, it builds up. But yes, that was my defining moment. And from that point forward, I did have other jobs after that, because again, the direct marketing was part-time for me. And I went back to small companies where I could customize my position better. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do that at the phone company the way I wanted to. And yet still, at the end of the day, operating as what I like to call an entrepreneur, that employer was still in charge at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. They appreciated me. They allowed me to grow. They allowed me to really share my gifts and talents within the confines of their business. However, if they decided the next day they didn't want to do that anymore, I didn't have a job. And I didn't really care for that too much. So when the opportunity to start Women's Prosperity Network came about, thank you, Nancy Matthews, and thank you, Trish, I was so excited because we were going to create a place where people like me that didn't fit into the mold could actually come together, like-spirited people, mm-hmm. on the same track, who really wanted to learn professionally and personally, who really wanted to make a huge difference in the world. We got the opportunity to create a community just like that. And I got to step into being, I guess, the employer of myself, mm-hmm. right? And so that took care of the last element that wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited to be here today and to live in almost what I call bubble world. I get to be surrounded by people who are like me, as opposed to how it was out in phone company world. And I get to enrich people's lives on a daily basis. I don't have to hold back. I get to be real. I get to be me. I don't have to do any of the pretend stuff that happens out in the world. And so for me, that's the why, is we got to create that community and I get to live in it. And I get to work with you guys, who are two of my favorite mentors.
Yay. Yeah. Back at you.
24/7. So.
Yeah. You know, it's right. Interesting. It's interesting, Susan, when you were sharing that you remembered getting the promotion and dressing down. And what I find interesting is that you said that just came to you as we were like talking today and preparing for this conversation. Yeah. And something similar happened with me when we started Women's Prosperity Network. The impetus for starting it is not really my true passion underneath, which had me drawn to it in the first place. You know, right. So as you talk about your story, in that you didn't really fit in, you couldn't, you know, didn't, you wanted things to get done, you wanted people who were positive around you, and the personal development piece that you got from working, you know, through the network marketing company with Trish. And I hear you talk about having networking be a different way, having women entrepreneurs have every advantage and opportunity that men also have. For, you know, for me, when we started Women's Prosperity Network, it actually began as an impetus from me being a contributing real estate expert in someone else's women's seminar company. And I thought, this is great. I remember sitting in an event where Trish and I were already doing seminars teaching real estate investing back in the early 2000s. And I went to hone my speaking skills because I wasn't very good in the beginning. I was okay, right?
Look at you now.
Oh, my God.
So I'm in this event and the instructor looks around the room and he says, wait a minute. This was early 2007. He said, there are only 20 women in this room of 80 people. We need more women speakers and we need more women who are willing to step up and lead and be women acting like women, not women acting like men. And like, I jumped out of my seat. Like, I don't even know what happened. I jumped out of my seat and I'm like, that's me. And my vision at the time was being a leading woman in the real estate field, sharing my expertise. That was my background for so long. And from that, I got invited into somebody else's idea of a women's seminar company. And I was all in. I'm like, yes, let's do this. Both of you were all in saying, yeah, this sounds great. But it was somebody else's company that I was partnering in. And the business model was flawed. It didn't work out. But here's what happened for me in the process is being growing up in the legal field, and I didn't have a corporate background as the two of you did, but I mostly hung out with men. The real, you know, legal field, you know, I had some close friends and I had my sisters, but if you had told me, like, hey, Nancy, you're going to lead this women's movement, I'd be like, you're looking in the wrong crystal ball. I don't think so, you know, but here's what happened. Once we got together, so that business model didn't work out, and we decided to come together because as we were sharing about this new type of community and business building and network for women and sharing the essence and the message that we come together and we mastermind, we can be real, get real results, like the seeds and the passion that grew in every single woman we talked to, they're like, yes, we need something different. Right. We need to come together. So that was kind of the impetus. And about a year after we created Women's Prosperity Network, I had somebody ask me the question after I answered, you know, what's my why? Because I want women to come together and have personal development and business development, blah, blah, blah. And then she said, but why you? Why is this your thing? And what I got back to, just like you had that reminder about when you went for your promotion and you dressed down so it would be easier. For me, it was, I was a single mom at the age of 24 and have been a single mom most of my life. Obviously, there were some men on the in-between, some husbands here or there. But it's been really, you know, me carrying the ball, being independent, making things happen for my family. And I remember working with women who were in miserable, abusive relationships and they couldn't leave because they didn't know how to make money.
Right.
And I'm a big believer in marriage and partnerships, but never should you stay if money's the only reason.
Right.
And I didn't even really discover that until a year after we created Women's Prosperity Network.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you realized that, I realized that too, because I was lucky enough that when I was done with my marriage, I could go. Mm. I was the breadwinner. I was the one who was bringing in the money. So I had every opportunity to go and be able to cut the cord. And like you, so many of my friends were staying in unhappy marriages simply because they couldn't or didn't believe they could support themselves.
Yeah. So and today, unhappy jobs.
And
unhappy jobs.
Yeah.
Exactly. Unhappy jobs, unhappy marriages, unhappy relationships with friends, family, and it doesn't have to be that way. So that's what Women's Prosperity Network is about, thriving at every level of your life and being surrounded by a community of like-minded and like-spirited women and men who come together to make this world massively better. With our products, with our services, with our projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to have your own business. So many of you who are listening or watching today are already on the path to make a massive change in this world through projects that you do. Mm-hmm. And we are here to support that and make that happen because collectively, together, when we come together, nothing can stop us. Mm-hmm. Nothing can stop us. So Nancy, that's a really amazing story. And then what was it like for you to think, okay, well, I'm going to work with my sisters. Like, and here we are 13 years later. How is the, what you thought different maybe than what is the reality?
So Susan and I have actually been working together since the 90s. And then you and the three of us started working together in the early 2000s. So, and you know what? I'm going to go back to mommy, our mother, because she got me at a job working where she worked at Hormel Industries. She got you a job. Susan, did she ever get you a job?
She tried, but I failed the test. So she was going to get me a job because I was on a career path. I never wanted to get married. I never wanted to have kids. I was going to be a woman standing on my own independently at age 21. And so she was going to help me get my career started and got me an interview for a life insurance salesman company.
Isn't that funny?
It's hysterical. So in that, they pretest you to see, you know, if it's a good fit for you. And I took the test and told the truth. So they told me the truth. This is not a good fit for you.
So, which was a good thing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Now, at the phone company, it was the same test, the same type of test. Only I did it their way because I wanted to get promoted.
Learned how to play the game differently, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, and so that comes back to part of what Women's Prosperity Network, you know, our core value is success on your own terms.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, we need to know the rules of the game, and we get to make our own rules along the way.
Correct.
As we're making, you know, blazing our trail and making a difference in the lives of mm-hmm. others. Yeah. All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Just one quick question I have. I love that I get to work with my sisters. Nepotism has been part of our life most of the time. And also, I am grateful that I get to work with my sisters because you're two awesome human beings and we each bring different gifts and talents and abilities to the business. So what I would say to somebody out there who doesn't have sisters, you don't have to be blood sisters. You know, there's family by blood and there's family by choice. Women's Prosperity Network is a family of choice and we choose to be with each other, even though we're sisters.
Exactly.
Thank you for joining us on the Be Real, Get Real podcast from Women's Prosperity Network, the place where impact-driven women shine as they make a positive difference for their families, their communities, and the world at large. Be sure to visit womensprosperitynetwork.com to tap into the power, resources, and connections this extraordinary community provides. That's it for today. I'm your host, Nancy Matthews, and until next time, make it a magical day.